The following podcast contains adult subject matter. Listener discretion is advised.
Fire away.
Yep, go for it. I wanted to ask a quick question, Bruce.
It better be quick.
In the 80s, I used to watch the Ripley's Believe It or Not with Jack Palance.
Sure.
And I know you have a different style. So what was it when you approached this project? What was your approach for it?
My approach was Detroit 1982. Seems like a weird answer, doesn't it? No. That's where I learned to work with teleprompters and do infomercials. I got my Screen Actors Guild card doing an infomercial for Chrysler to teach car salesmen how to sell the interiors of their car to people. But no one will ever see it. You'll never see it. But it got me trained of doing informational stuff in front of a camera. Normally acting is you ignore the camera. You know, if you're the camera, I'd be blah de blah de blah de blah, and you wouldn't exist. But with this, you have to focus in on it. It is the audience. So I'm used to that. So I've sort of become circular. I'm coming back to where I started. End where you begin. It makes sense.
Thank you.
Yes.
Obviously, you have a very comedic style to like your presentation. Does that sometimes conflict with like the subject matter on Ripley's?
My feeling is any actor needs to adapt to the material. You know, same with directors. A director shouldn't adapt the material to his or her style. So same with an actor. There's jokey material that I like doing, but if you're talking about a guy who's have a disability or whatever, you know, you have to tame the snarkiness factor. You have to be respectful. We're celebrating these people. We're not looking at it like we're holding our nose. We're fascinated and amazed and impressed. That's our approach. Yes?
How difficult is it to find things that haven't already been blasted around social media that we've seen before?
Not even that. We've found people who have already been found. Mm-hmm. But we get to know them. These other stories, you've seen the footage, but you haven't met them. That's the difference. We're getting into their lives, getting to know them. And therefore, you can celebrate their success anymore because you know their story, what they struggled with, how they overcame it, especially if they have a disability. A lot of these people have something horrible happened, or they were born a certain way, and the fact that they overcome it is just impressive itself.
What has been your most amazing moment? Or found?
Really, honestly, it's sharing uplifting stories with people. That's what we try and entertain as actors, but in this case, it's really, I'm entertaining in a different way. We're pretty much just sharing other people's stories. So I'm just a story sharer. That's my job for this. But they're in the show because they are what we consider extraordinary. So of 10 episodes, you've got 60 stories. So we're just really scratching the surface. It's out there. And then we'll get to know them. And then people will care. Yes?
Is there any items in the Ripley's warehouse that you've seen or heard about that you're just like, wow, that's crazy? Like,
you can't yes. Yes. And no, I'm not going to tell you.
Season 2.
Well, yeah, I think hopefully they'll feature more stuff. I'd like to, being the Travel Channel, I'd like to go to one of the museums, stage out of there. They have a great aquariums, you know, bop around a little bit. Because what's cool is they're taking all their stuff, and that really is what the museums are all about. That's how you bicycle the stuff around. So it's really great. They can keep swapping it out. They may not have the biggest collection, but I think Ripley's has the coolest collection. So that's what this show really is. It's further curating.
Do you think with it being the Travel Channel, or do you hope that in the future that maybe you'd even be able to travel to see people like in their natural environments doing
their natural habitats?
Yeah, like not in an exploitative way, but in a
funny thing is, I don't know that we could accomplish as much as we do unless we did continue to do it this way. Because the cool thing is, a lot of these people who are overcoming stuff or are performing, they video themselves anyway. So it's actually makes us able to do stories about so many people because of the amount of footage that exists that we can already use. If they actually had to go to 60 different locations to find these people, not a chance in hell. It'd be too outrageous. They'd still be filming.
Right.
You know, these people are from all over the world. That's what's great. So this show is unlimited. As big as the planet is, we'll do a story. Yes, just harder to pronounce their names.
What incentivized you to take
That's a big, fancy word, incentivized. Are you a lawyer, a business affairs person? Incentivized.
I'm Asian? I don't know.
What incentivized you to become an actor?
No, to take on a show like this as opposed to a more traditionally scripted story like what most of your career is comprised
scripted
of.
Scripted TV versus this.
Yeah.
Which is essentially reality TV, I guess you could say. Because I find this just as interesting. Some scripted shows are very boring as an actor. Like a cop show, doctor show, lawyer show. My agent is here. I'd strangle him in the hallway if I got stuck on one of those shows. Bruce, what happened? You killed your agent. Yep, yeah, I was in the 12th season of that procedural show, and I lost it. Yeah. There's just, some things appeal to actors, but, you know, I couldn't be in a cop show because the cop lingo would be a lot of that, you know, get to hear stat, blah, 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 stat, engage, 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 go, go, go. Then the doctor show is I need 10 cc's of this stat. So George Clooney, you ever watch that show? He's reading off his board. That's the worst dialogue on the planet. Medical shit? Are you kidding me? You watch him. He goes, hey doctor, what's your answer to that? I'll tell you in just a second. Well, I see my patient is doing rather well. Now back to regular dialogue. Not going to happen. Crime shows. Your Honor, I object. Of course you object. That's what you're supposed to do. And then you argue. And then a twist. Oh, the courtroom innocent knew this. And I love the shots of the people in the jury. The hardest thing for those, they're all extras. They're paid less than normal actors. They don't really have to speak. But can you imagine them trying to stay awake all day as jurors? Real jurors, too. I mean, can you imagine if you were a real juror? You see these shots of them, and they have to, like, they're not going to tip their hand. They're told by the director, we can't know if you think they're innocent or guilty. Because if one guy sat there like this, they can't use that. So here's what they can use, is this. Like, you might have heard something that was a revelation, so you're listening a little more intently. That's all they're going to give away. So if I was one of those background extras, oh, I'd have a whole series of little tiny moves, and they would use every single one. Like, but just this. It'd be this. They'd use that 3 seconds. The editor would be thanking me. I don't want to be on that show.
I feel like
so why did I pick this show? Because everything's, you know, in next season, there won't be a single story that has anything to do with any of these. It's fresh. It's like being a college professor. You got fresh faces every season. You can tell the same old jokes. No, so I think it's great. It'll be very fresh. It'll be a fun show to do every year because you just don't know. And we hope by being on the air, it gets more people to come up, step up, even if they have no footage. And maybe we will go to more places. But for right now, I think it's easier to bring them in to one place, you know.
this a project that was brought to you, or was this a passion project for yourself?
No, the best things are what I call things that fall off the truck. This, I got a call from my fine agency, and they were like, hey, how about a little Ripley Dipley? I said, the word I use is intrigued, I think.
Yes.
I'm intrigued. And then you take it to the next level to go, how serious are they? You know, shooting when? What do you do? What's the deal? Then you talk turkey. And then you let them go. Then they fight it out. And you make a deal. So that's it. It came out of nowhere. And that's fine. Because Travel Channel, they're different. They're not your father's Travel Channel. It's not dives, drive-ins, and diners. Now they're finding ghosts. It's ghosts. You know, ghost attack. So it's a different Travel Channel. You're traveling to the unknown now, I think, is what the shtick is. So it's a pretty good fit, I feel. It's nice to have a show that fits. I've been on a lot of shows that don't fit the network. And the network eventually goes, why are you on our network? And they just get you off. This hopefully will fit right in. We'll see.
So are you going to be doing any movie work alongside this?
Yeah, of course. Hell yeah.
What are you crazy? What do you got?
I got some stuff in the pipes. I can't tell you anything.
You can't clear it out for us?
No. Mm-mm. No, it's time to just... I'm going to make movies in my beautiful state of Oregon. My underexposed state. Great stuff. My state is beautiful. But don't stay. Keep passing through till you get to an ugly state. And then stop there. Yes?
When you were saying about the Travel Channel... My recollection of the old original Ripley's might be a little fuzzy, but my memory is like...
Why were you about. Stoned, sir? Were you drunk when you watched the last show? Or young?
Maybe. Or young. One of those. But my memory is like there were more than just the extraordinary people. There were also like dark and mystery, you know, ghosts and curses. And do you believe in any of that kind of stuff?
I had a UFO encounter about 2 months ago.
Really?
That I feel is legit. Because it was remarkable and not remarkable at the same time. My view is the Siskiyou Mountains, that are one of the few mountain ranges that runs east and west. Most mountain ranges are north and south. So it's a very unique mountain range. There's nothing on it. It's all government land. So there's no lights. There's no nothing. It's Lord of the Rings. So I'm jibber-jabbing, doing a phoner. It's dusk. I look out. Nothing going on. Talkity talk. I look back out. Up from behind the mountain range comes a warbly white light. It's like a helicopter. Because they kind of hover. Like if a helicopter's coming at you, it's lower in the sky and it's not moving very quickly. I know every jet pattern over me. I know the jets going to San Francisco over my head. I know the ones going to L.A. I know the patterns. I know the height. So this is different. Okay, it's like a helicopter. So I go, all right, maybe it's a helicopter. So I'm watching it, talking on the phone. I look away from it. A light behind me in the foyer, there's two sets of lights as you come into my house. And one light goes bzzz, down to half strength and then comes back up. And I look. I'm like, okay. As soon as I look at that... The other light in the foyer goes bzzz, down to half strength and back up. I turn back, the light's gone. So no fancy exit, no, you know, nothing. It's gone. Now, at the speed that it was going, it couldn't have left my view that quickly. It would have had to then do something very different to get out of my view that quickly. I only turned away like this long, and then this long, and then it's gone. So, my theory is that thing saw me, saw my lights, saw my house, and went, what's that one? Oh, weird. Oh, what's that one? And they fucked with my lights. A blackout, the whole house would have gone. A brownout, every light in the house would have gone to half and then back up. Not one light specifically and then another light specifically. So it was either military, B, because you're not going to really be seen on that mountain range. There's not a lot of people there. So they could have been out dicking around doing something. But it was something that was messing with me and then took off. So I believe that there is absolutely unchartedness. I mean, if we haven't seen the whole ocean yet, how the hell do we know what's up there? So forget it. I just hope they can deal with plastic, whoever's up there. Get a plastic magnet, right? And fly it over the Earth and suck. Wouldn't that be cool if there was a plastic magnet? It pulls it right out of us. It pulls the plastic particles right out of our body. I have a theory. We're going to evolve to the point where we actually need plastic. We will eat it. It'll be our fuel in order to survive. We will adapt to plastic. We'll be cyborgs at that point, so it won't matter.
Do you think that's the technology that they're going to find when they storm Area 51?
They're going to find buckshot in the ass when they storm Area 51. I cease and desist. Oh, you go to the Nevada desert. I've taken a shortcut home from a convention in Vegas, and I cut through Nevada, the Burning Man area, to get to my house back in Oregon. And, you know, you see signs of, like, this is it, stop. Like, you're done going forward. Like, turn around. And it's all military. You know, Nevada is about three-quarters owned by some form of government agency. Nevada's awesome. It's the freakiest state. There's nobody there.
You're listed as an executive producer on the show.
Yes, that's right.
How much input did you have?
Oh, I get to boss everybody around.
Oh, really? So what can we expect to see that was like...
No, it's tone. It's tone. Yeah. I get to impose what I feel is a respectful tone. But it's not like anyone was going to make fun of anybody. That was it. I'm there just to make sure. And then to make sure the words out of my mouth make sense to me, too.
So Sam Raimi has been talking about the Spider-Man 4.
He sure has, hasn't he? Yeah.
And you were going to be...
You say that. You say that like it became a fact. You were going to be this.
You were going to be.
According to who? According to bullshit you read on the World Wide Web of bullshit. No, that was a fanboy thing that started. Do you know Sam Raimi never sent like an email or a phone call saying, "Hey Bruce, prepping Spider-Man 4. What do you think about Mysterio?" That conversation never happened. So there's no way I could jump on board that and answer your what if question.
Alright.
Because isn't Jake Gyllenhaal, isn't he Mysterio anyway?
He's pretty awesome.
I'll bet he's awesome. And now he can go back to his little darling indies again. Right? Am I right? Yeah. I bought him a couple indies. I'll do your fucking superhero movie. Fine. Mysterio. Ah! Okay, what's my little indie darling? What's next? Theater, excuse me. Even better than indie darling. I'm going back to make no money at all. I'm overcharged for this superhero thing. Now I can go make no money at all on a 40-year-old play. I'm like Boys in the Band or whatever, you know? Yeah. Okay, got it. The career arc of actors. Yes.
I know that like sci-fi's done it and Travel Channel's dabbled in it, but when you talk about some of the other shows, like this isn't your dad's Travel Channel anymore.
Yeah.
Ghost Hunters and that type of thing on there. Did you ever see a crossover episode where you go and do one of theirs?
Only if they find something that's actually amazing.
Yeah, not
because we can't hear like bumps and noises, I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
And quick handheld shots with night vision goggles. We need to see like something
full
that's real.
Yeah.
Yeah, full apparition. It will come. As long as we can either do a story, talk to it, confirm it, give us some footage that's not out of focus. I'd like some focus footage of Bigfoot and other creatures now, too. Why is it all out of focus? It shouldn't be. You have autofocus. Everyone has autofocus.
We have technology's advanced.
By the way, if anyone wants to see the Bigfoot trap, it's 45 minutes from my house in Oregon. It's outside the Applegate Lake on Collings Mountain Trail. They built it in the 70s. The Forest Service built a Bigfoot trap to catch Bigfoot. It is an elevator style thing that's quite large, where I guess supposedly he would look in and go, "Hey, my favorite dates or and bananas. Thank you for leaving that. I'll just walk right in here," and the weight would send it down and counter lever a cage. It's all still there. Only criminals go there now to do meth. But basically, it's in a great spot. I mean, you look around, you go, he could totally be here. But the fact our government dollars built a Bigfoot trap is just so awesome. And it's still there. So everyone's posing there going, you know, fake Bigfoot. I really want to go there. Hire a friend, like some actor friend who plays creatures. These guys are like 9 feet tall. Get a fucking Bigfoot and just wait. Wait for some tourists. Go, hey, come on. And they would die. Make a tourist die right there. That'd be kind of awesome.
Does anybody want to ask a last question?
Oh, sorry. We're kicking you guys out. Yeah.
What is the one thing you would like audiences to take away from the newer Ripley's Believe It or Not?
Humans are more capable than we give ourselves credit for. We're way more impressive than we think we are. We should give ourselves more credit. Yeah. That's what I feel. Get busy, swallow those swords, light yourself on fire, come on.
Yeah. Thank you all for coming.
All right, thank you. Thank you very much, really.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast. Join us on Facebook and Twitter to get behind-the-scenes information for exclusive content and to be notified when new episodes are available. The thoughts and opinions expressed in this podcast are those of the individual and do not necessarily represent or reflect those of the Thinking Outside the Long Walks podcast, Barron Space Productions, its partners, or affiliates. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is made available by its creators, Juan, John, and Gabe. The podcast is edited and produced by Juan, and Albie is the co-executive producer. The Thinking Outside the Long Box podcast is a Barron Space production.